United States Steel Corporation, 500,000 employees and stockholders, presents the Theater Guild on the Air. United States Steel presents the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, bringing into your home every Sunday evening from the stage of the Vanderbilt Theater in New York the most famous plays of Broadway. Tonight we bring you one of the Theater Guild's greatest successes, Sidney Howard's Pulitzer Prize-winning play, The Silver Cord, starring Ralph Bellamy, Ruth Hussey, and Estelle Winwood, and featuring Beatrice Pearson and Elliot Reed. And here is Lawrence Langner, co-director with Teresa Helburn of the Theater Guild, to tell you something about the play and the players. Mr. Langner.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we're bringing you another play about family life. But this time there's a difference. In The Silver Cord, we are dealing, in dramatic terms, with a family problem, which is more powerful and searching than any we have yet brought to you on this program. This problem arises from the attitude of a mother towards the marriages of her two sons. Ralph Bellamy is starred as one of the sons, and Ruth Hussey is his wife. Incidentally, they're now appearing together in the latest Broadway hit, State of the Union. And also tonight, the wonderful Estelle Winwood is starred as the mother. And now, the curtain rises on The Silver Cord.
Landmark I see gives me an itchy toe. There's the old school I used to go to.
Uh-huh.
Now, darling, keep your eyes open. Curve, you'll see the pond.
Your own pond?
Yep, where Rob and I skated every year. And right next to that, the house. There.
Oh, David, it's beautiful. I love a colonial house.
Mother's full of tradition, up to her ears. You'll like Mother, no kidding.
Of course.
Really, I'm sure you'll get along.
Well, why shouldn't you?
And you'll like Rob, too.
Rob didn't get in the service, did he?
No, he was rejected for the draft. Kind of nervous, you know. Swell fellow, though. Well, here we are. Well, Mrs. Phelps.
I feel sort of scared.
You scared? Ha, ha, ha. Hand me that bag there.
Here you are.
Come on. I'm kind of nervous myself. Shaking all over, I'm so excited.
Ooh, it's cold, isn't it?
Very cold. Imagine. Over 3 years.
Hello. Oh, you want Mrs. Phelps?
Hey, who are you?
Well,
don't
I...
Don't tell me. You're the girl my brother Rob's going to marry.
Right, I'm Hester. And you're David.
That's right. Gosh, I'm glad to know you. Hester, meet Christina, my wife.
Hello, Christina. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Hello, Hester, dear.
Where's Mother? Where's everybody?
Oh, around somewhere. I was down here alone, resting on the couch. I'm supposed to be having a breakdown.
A breakdown?
They've declared me an invalid. Rob went out to skate, but
on the pond?
Of course, only I don't see him anywhere.
Hester!
Oh, here, Rob, in the living room. Come on in.
They've been cutting ice, so the pond's full of holes. I hope nobody takes a shortcut across the pond.
Rob, look, Rob.
Dave.
Rob.
Well, you
are. Rob, this is Christina.
This is marvelous. Hello, Christina. Welcome to our home.
Thanks,
Rob. But aren't you way ahead of time? The afternoon train isn't
due. We decided not to bother with trains.
When the boat got to New York, we decided to get Chris's old car out of storage.
And Dave drove like a madman.
And here we are.
Well, how are you?
Just grand. And don't they both look marvelous, Rob?
But where's Mother?
Oh, in her room, maybe, or...
David! Dave!
Mother! Hello, Mother!
Dave.
Here, Mother, here.
Where are you, my boy? It's Mother, David, Mother. Oh, David, my son. To think I wasn't down here.
We came earlier to surprise you, Mother. Chris thought that...
Oh, let me look at you, Dave. You are well, aren't you?
Yes, so. Look, Mother, I want you to meet...
Was the English climate terribly hard on you and the bee bombs? Did you suffer, Dave?
Mother, you haven't said a word.
And the crossing, were you seasick? Now, you must be careful not to take cold in this weather. Now, David, you haven't been working too hard, have you?
He hasn't done a scratch of work since the war ended. Mm-hmm. We've been touring England, waiting for passage.
Mother, I've been trying to make you take notice of Christina.
Oh, my dear Christina, I am sorry. Seeing this big boy again quite took me off my feet. Now, let me look at you.
You look lovely to me.
And to me too, Mother.
Hello, Mrs. Bell.
Why, Dave, she's splendid. Didn't I always say Dave would choose only the best? Dave, you have been working too hard. I don't like those circles under your eyes.
Ah, nonsense, Mother.
I think he looks pretty well.
Not only pretty well. Oh, baby boy, this is too good to be true. After 3 whole years and nearly 6 months married, let me sit down. Let me sit here. And all of you, cluster around me.
Here's the pillow, Mother.
And the smelling salts, too, Robin.
Right here.
Oh, this excitement has quite laid me out. This is too wonderful. My war is won. I've won my 2 boys back again.
These suitcases go.
I'll show you. Here, everybody, is David's old room, just as he left it. Every day I dusted in here and said to myself, David will be back in his old little room beside me.
But, Mother, you don't mean that Chris and I...
Now, just a minute, David. There's something I want everyone to see. Look in this drawer.
Well, if it isn't his old block.
Do you remember those blocks?
Do I?
The way you played with those first showed me that you would be an architect. The foundation stones of David's career.
Now, Mother, don't talk as if I'm an architect already. All I've done so far is camouflage factories so the Jerrys wouldn't smash them.
Well, you're going to be an architect now, aren't you?
I'll try my darndest.
Well, then. Now, everybody, across the hall, please.
Thank you, darling.
Now, this little front room is for Christina.
Well, I say, Mother, can't we...
Oh, well, don't they want to be together, Mrs. Fox?
Oh, I'm so terribly sorry. The guest room is being done over.
Well, then let them move into my room. It's so much larger.
They'll do nothing of the sort, Hester. Hester's here for a rest, and I won't upset her. She's been dancing so much, she's gone into a perfect decline. David can be quite comfortable in his old room. And so can Christina in here, and it won't hurt them a bit.
Oh, of course not.
Oh, but gosh, I feel terribly...
Now, Hester, if Mother has made all the plans, you... Better let things be.
That's right, Robin.
Well.
So, which bags go in here?
Well, just put these two in here for Chris for the time being. Our things are a little mixed up.
Okay. There you are, madam.
You'll be very comfortable in here, Christina. And now, I want Robin and Hester to supervise David while I visit with my new daughter.
That'll be nice.
All right. Come on, Dave. We'll help you build something with your block.
But you dog, you.
Now we two can have a chat. Let me really look at you. I've never seen a lady scientist before.
I hope I'm not so different from other women.
I've quite gotten over being afraid of you.
Afraid of me?
Can't you understand that? My big boy sends me a curt cable to say he's marrying a charming and talented biologist. But now that I know you, I'm proud to have you for a daughter.
You're being very nice to me.
Oh, it isn't at all hard to be nice to you, my dear. Now, suppose you just lie down there and rest, and I'll start unpacking for you.
Oh, no, please let yourself back and wait until some other time.
No, my dear, it's nice to have help with these things. Now, I know you must be tired. Let your new mother... What's this?
What?
Is it medicine? You're well, aren't you, dear?
Oh, of course. Oh, that's really a souvenir. It's what brought David and me together. It's a vial of penicillin.
Oh, how very scientific.
You see, I went to England to work on penicillin. One of the problems was to reduce it to a powder so it could be shipped all over the world in little vials. Many of us worked hard on it at a factory near Cambridge, and that's where I met David. He camouflaged the factory as an English village, and that's how that vial brought us together.
Oh, how very nice. But I hope for David's sake that you also observed some cultural things in England and not
Just science.
Oh, on our wedding trip, we took in all the landmarks.
Because, as a mother, I've always paid particular attention to my boys' cultural development. My boys learn their classics at their mother's knee. You read, I hope?
I can. I sometimes have to.
Oh, my dear, I only meant that I think it's so important for David's happiness that you should be what I call a reader. Oh, it was very hard for me when David got the chance to go to England, but I said to myself, David must do his part, and he'll come back a complete man. Though I didn't actually look for him bringing you back, my dear, coming home a married man. So I stayed home with Robin. Robin was rejected for the draft, you know. Nothing wrong with him physically, of course. Just the nervous type.
I see. He's very sensitive and artistic.
I've sometimes thought he should take up interior decorating and decorate the houses built by David. Now, tell me what your plans are. If you have plans, which I hope you haven't, because I've been making so many for you, such perfect ones.
We haven't many, but what we have are pretty definite.
Are they really? What are they?
Well, we're going to live in New York, of course.
Why New York, of course?
Well, it's by far the best place for Dave's work.
Oh, I can't agree with you, Christine.
And then it's where my appointment is.
Your appointment?
At the Rockefeller Institute.
Oh. That's why you're taking David to New York. You're thinking of your biology.
Oh, you can't blame me. So long as I think of Dave's work, too, you must understand that.
I shall try to, my dear. Now, you must try to understand me.
Of course, I would to.
Look at me. What do you see? Simply David's mother. I can't say of you that you're simply David's wife, because clearly you're many things besides that. I think, as I look at you, that I belong to a dead age.
Oh, come, Mrs. Phelps.
But give us our due, Christina. We girls who did not go into the world to become speed car conductors and lady scientists, we had our profession, too. A great profession, which I fear may vanish from the face of the earth. Motherhood.
But Mrs. Phelps, I certainly don't...
Wait, Christina. David was six. Rob only a little baby when my husband died. I've been married 7 years, not very happily. I was pretty, too, as a girl. Very pretty.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
For 24 years since my husband died, I've given all my life, all my strength to Dave and Rob. They've taken the place of husband and friends for me. Where do I stand now? Rob has finished school and is marrying. David is married already. This is the end.
The end?
No, no, I'm not asking for praise. I'm asking for something more substantial. I'm asking you, my dear Christina, not to take all my boy's heart. Leave me, I beg you, a little part of it. Don't you think I've earned that much as David's mother?
Mrs. Phelps, please don't think there's any problem here.
It's agreed, then, isn't it, that I'm not to be shut out?
Of course you're not.
Not by you, Christina, nor by your work.
No, no.
Nor by anything.
Oh, you must know I appreciate all you've done for Dave. You must know that.
Oh, my dear, you're a very disarming person. I've known you 10 minutes and unloaded my whole heart to you.
I'm proud that you trust me.
Thank you, my dear. And now that you know how I feel, now... You won't take Dave to New York, will you?
But Mrs. Phelps...
Well, because that would be crowding me out, setting me aside, robbing me.
Robbing you? Mrs. Phelps, you've no reason to think any such thing.
Oh, well, it is nice of you to reassure me, and we don't have to worry right away. You'll have time to see how carefully I've worked everything out for David and for you too, my dear. And all I ask is...
Well, how are my two women getting along? Here, Chris. Here's one of your nighties that was in my suitcase.
Oh, thanks, dear.
And have you got my toothbrush?
Yeah, it's right in here with mine. Here. Oh, here's your razor, too.
Oh, thanks. What do you think of this old lady? Pretty wonderful, isn't she?
Amazing, Dave.
Oh, Christina is lovely and very brilliant, I'm sure.
I bet she is.
And while we're together, we three, I want to tell you all the arrangements I've made for you.
Arrangements? What's all this? Are you still the old planner, Mother?
Of course. Christina, I happen to own a very large tract of wooded land here, most desirable for residences. You can see it out there, off to the left of the pond.
Oh, yes, I see.
I've had many wonderful offers for it, but I've held on to it ever since Dave chose his profession. Now we shall name it Phelps Manor and open it. David will have charge. David will lay out the streets, design the gateways, build the houses, and make his fortune, his reputation, and his place in the world.
Now, look here, Mother. This is all a bit sudden, isn't it?
Oh, David, with me to back you, there can't be any doubt about the outcome. Now, isn't that better than New York with its years of discouragement?
No, there's certainly a difference.
Then we can consider it settled.
Well, this isn't a thing we can decide on the spur of the moment.
What is there to think about?
Well...
David has an offer of a job in New York, Mrs. Phelps.
A job?
Yes, with Michaels. He's a big man. It could mean a fine start there.
He's very interested in David. I don't approve at all.
And then Chris has her appointment and...
Oh, I'm sure we can work that out. That's very easy, Christina. I'm on the hospital board here, and you do your work in a laboratory?
Usually.
I'll take you in the morning and show you our laboratory. It has a fine new microscope the high school didn't want anymore. And an excellent gas stove, because it's also the nurse's diet kitchen. And you'll be allowed to putter around all you like when it isn't in use by the real doctors. Now, you will think it over. Taking David to New York and ruining all his trust.
Ah, Mother, Chris isn't taking me to New York. We're thinking of both our jobs, mine just as much as hers.
Mrs. Phelps, isn't it a choice for David between a sure success here and his own achievement somewhere else?
That's it, exactly. And you see, Mother, our plans are pretty well laid out. Chris's job starts a week from today, and that's where we go to New York.
A week from today? No.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, no. No, no, I won't allow it.
Well, look, we can't work this out now. We certainly appreciate this idea of yours, Mother. It's so generous that, well, it's like all the other fine things you're always doing for Rob and me. And Chris and I will certainly talk it over.
Well, of course we will.
And now, let's get ready for dinner. Chris, if you want a bath, I'll be through in a few minutes, all right?
Right, darling.
The water's nice and hot the way you like it.
I think it's madness. It means it's all been for nothing.
What has?
All that I've done for David and given up for him and meant to him.
How can you say that?
I did so want to be friends with David's wife, but
can't we be?
Someday, you'll have a child of your own, and then you may know what it means. If
what?
If you don't sacrifice your child, too, to this work of yours.
Mrs. Phelps, I want terribly much to feel very close to you. Isn't that why we came here at once after we landed? Believe me, you and I value the same things. And you'll see that when I tell you something David and I saved till now to tell you.
Tell me what?
David and I are going to have a baby.
A baby?
In about 4 months. And what...
Oh, Mrs. Phelps, what's wrong? Are you all right?
My heart...
It's not very strong.
Oh, here, take this chair.
Yeah, I'll be all right in a moment. I'll be all right. In a moment.
Continue with the second act of The Silver Cord, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air, starring Ralph Bellamy, Ruth Hussey, and Estelle Winwood, and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. Here speaking for United States Steel is George Hicks.
Good evening. Tonight I'd like to report about one of the most important products made from steel, a product essential to our health and well-being, yet strangely enough, a product that most of us seldom even think of as being made of steel. I'm talking about cans. The cans that line your pantry and your grocery shelves. The cans you buy practically every day. Yes, I'm talking about what most of us call tin cans, even though they're over 98% steel and less than 2% tin. I don't have to remind you of our enormous needs for canned goods during the war. The amounts we sent our armed forces, plus the quantities we used at home, were staggering. And even though there's only a small amount of tin in each can, we were confronted with a desperate situation when the Japs cut off our chief sources of tin supply. Several factors combined to rescue us from this critical tin shortage. One was the supply of tin ore we obtained from Bolivia. Another was the used cans we so carefully saved. The third was the inventive genius of American industry. Before the war, almost all tin plate used in cans had been made by the hot dip method, whereby a sheet of steel is coated by dipping it into molten tin. For a number of years, U.S. Steel had experimented on a method of plating steel with tin electrically, in which a strip of steel passes continuously and rapidly through a tin solution at a rate of hundreds of feet a minute. This new method, pioneered by U.S. Steel, is called the electrolytic process and uses 60% less tin than the old method, gives a more even coating, and in other ways makes an improved product for many purposes. So next time you open a can, remember this. Today, with all canned goods unrationed, we Americans are again using cans at the rate of somewhere around 16 billion a year. And that's only natural. For thanks to scientific research and industry, our modern tin-coated steel cans provide us with a constant supply of delicious foods ready to serve at a moment's notice.
We pause now for station identification. The curtain rises on the second act of The Silver Cord, starring Ralph Bellamy as David, Ruth Hussey as Christina, Estelle Winwood as Mrs. Phelps, and featuring Beatrice Pearson as Hester and Elliot Reed as Rob. Collection of photographs.
Oh, no. And look at this one, Dave in his playpen.
Let me see it.
Oh, Marvel. This looks like Dave in a sailor suit.
Yep, that's me, all right.
Now put the coffee tray aside and I'll tell you all about the picture.
Uh-huh. All right, Mother.
What are you doing in the sailor suit, Dave?
Dancing the hornpipe, I think.
Oh, that was at Miss Briggs's dancing school.
Did Miss Briggs teach you to be graceful, Dave?
She did indeed. As a boy, I was a gazelle, but I got over it.
I'm just as glad I've known one or two adult gazelles.
Miss Briggs had red hair and castanets. Spain, she used to say, is the land of the dance.
Every moment is vivid. This is David when he was 10 weeks old.
Oh,
David. Darling baby. Did they always seat them on shelves in those days?
It was the fashion, like any other.
David on the half shell.
I didn't always sit in shelves. Mother's got one of me on a white fur rug.
It hangs over my bed till this day.
In the nude?
No, in an undershirt.
Fashions change.
I suppose they must. David wouldn't think of being photographed in his undershirt now. Let me see the picture again, Mrs. Phelps.
I think that's enough for this evening.
Oh, come now, Mother. They were only kidding.
Oh, please don't be angry, Mrs. Phelps. They're awfully interesting pictures.
Only interesting to me, I'm afraid.
Not at all. I love them.
Come on, let's see some more.
Show us some more, Mrs. Phelps. Are there many more?
Dave and Robin were photographed twice every month until they were 12 years old.
Good grief. That makes over 250 of each.
I never counted. I used to study their photographs month by month. I could compare the expression at 8 with that at 8.5 and see the increased depth. I could study a picture of Dave playing with his blocks and point out those signs of architectural genius by which I decided to make him an architect.
You mean you just up and decided?
Of course.
Seems a risky business.
What could be more natural?
No, I know what Christina means. Look, I had some rabbits once, and I loved them. Well, suppose my family had studied pictures of me playing with my rabbits and brought me up to be a lion tamer.
Oh, now, Hester.
So what I say about children is have them, love them, and leave them be.
I'm not sure that isn't a very profound remark.
Robin, put the pictures away, please.
Oh, are you sure you don't want to go through the rest, Mother?
I'm afraid of boring Hester and Christina. They have higher interests, of course, higher than husbands. Higher even than children, I suspect.
What? Well, of all the...
What were you about to say, Hester?
Chris, look, the kids are coasting down a long hill by moonlight. What do you say we go out and watch?
Oh, I'd love to.
Do us good. Come on.
You'll all excuse us, won't you?
I'll get your coat.
It's right here in the hall, David.
All right, let's go.
I think she might have had more consideration than to drag David out of doors in freezing weather.
Mrs. Phelps, David dragged her out. Besides, they're in love. They want to be alone.
You might consider her husband's health.
Why worry about anyone as husky as David? Besides, it's Christina and not David who's going to have a baby.
Hey, Hunter.
Oh, all things.
Never mind, Robin.
I'm sorry I shocked you, but I had to say it.
Robin, I feel very old this evening and very tired.
Mother.
Help me to my room, please.
Your heart isn't bothering you again, is it?
It may very well be. You'll excuse us, Hester. Your arm, Robin.
Yes, Mother.
That's it, my boy. Help your mother. I'll just sit here for a while in my chaise, Laura. Stay with me a while. I'm lonely tonight, Robin.
Sure, I'll stay. If you want me to.
There. Head in my lap. And let's have a real old-fashioned talk. This shows me something I've always suspected. You are my son. David takes after his father.
You really think so?
Of course. Robin, has Hester decided where she wants to spend her honeymoon?
Oh, she doesn't care where we go.
I took such an interest in my honeymoon. Hester hasn't picked out her flat silver yet, has she?
Well, I don't think so.
I can't understand it.
What?
Her indifference. It shocks me.
You think she's indifferent?
Has she made any decision about her new home?
Oh, no, she says anything will suit her.
Normal girls look forward to having their homes to receive their friends in.
She says I know more about that sort of thing.
Does Hester have many friends? Did she have a lot of suitors beside you?
I suppose she had loads. Why?
One does wonder how much a girl has been sought after. But then why should she have bothered with others when she thought she could land you? You're rather a catch.
Me?
Any girl would set her cap for you.
Oh, I don't think Hester did that.
Only
what?
I can't help wondering if Hester's feelings for you are as strong as you think. And now, after what you've told me...
Oh, Mother, it's too late to worry now.
Never too late, Robin. It's not too late. Marriage is such an important step, and you're so sensitive. It would be too terrible if you had to go through the disillusionment and disappointment of... Oh, Robin, you must be saved from that. Does Hester love you?
She must, or she wouldn't have accepted me.
That isn't enough, Robin. Do you love Hester?
Why, sure, I must. Who could help loving her? I mean, good heavens, what do I mean? Well, a man ought to marry.
Either you don't love Hester, or Hester doesn't love you.
She does love me.
I haven't seen her showing it.
Mother.
You're making a grave mistake to go on with this. These things are better faced before than after, Robin. Children come after, and then it's too late. Or think before it's too late. And remember, the happiness of three people is at stake.
Hester's and mine and...
And mine... And mine. Only, I was wrong to say that. You must put my fate out of your mind just as Dave has done. Let Dave find out for himself what he's done. Christina won't have time for home and children. Oh, but you, Robin, you can still be saved. You will face the facts.
You mean break with Hester?
At once. Tonight. You have your chance.
No, I... If you think that...
Oh, thank heaven for this confidence between us. Thank God I saved my boy. Oh, you'll see. It won't be so bad to put up with your mother a little longer.
Of course not, Mother.
Oh, I've still plenty to give you. And I won't have to be lonely. Hold me. Hold me tight.
You're shivering.
Yes.
We'd better go in, darling. You'll catch a chill.
It isn't the cold. I'm scared, Dave.
What about?
I'm not sure. I've never come up against anything like this before. Oh, it scares me.
What does?
I've I don't know how to tell you.
What are you driving at?
David, do you look at me as apart from all other women? I mean, do you think of all the women in the world and then think of me quite differently?
How about do I?
Please, answer.
Of course I do.
Because that's what being in love must mean. Don't you see how that feeling between a man and a woman is what keeps life going?
Sure, but what are you getting so worked up about?
I don't know. Oof, perhaps we better go in.
Yeah, it's getting mighty cold. Might get more snow.
I feel a little better just talking with you alone.
Look, Chris, don't get upset about anything. Mother gets funny ideas now and then, but she's crazy about you. They all are. By the way, what do you think of Mother's plan?
About Phelps Manor?
That and what she had in mind for you.
Puttering when the real doctors aren't busy. What do you think of it?
Well, New York is the real future for both of us, but, you know, we might get that laboratory modernized with Mother's influence. And then it might be fun to put up a development here. Of course, Mother, when she gets an idea into her head, it sure is hard to get it out. What a spirited old lady she is, huh?
And she's quite remarkable.
Well, maybe we can work things out some way. Why, honey, you're really shivering.
Yes.
Hope you're all right.
Look, darling.
What?
Before we go in, kiss me, please.
That's awfully easy. Oh, sweetheart, I love you.
Oh, darling.
Come. What's that?
Hester,
what's wrong?
I don't know.
Hester,
can't you put yourself together?
Hester,
I started
anyway. Hester,
she's upset. I was just... You know, Mother.
Hester,
stop it.
Open a window, Dave. Mrs. Phelps, will you give me your smelling salts?
Tell Rob to go away.
Never mind, Rob.
What am I so thanks.
Now, Hester, stop it.
You can only send those awful people out. Oh, take me away, Christina.
Yes,
take
sir.
Me back to New York. I can't face it.
Now, stop it.
Here's some snow from the window seal. Rub it on her wrists and
test
it.
Fine.
What brought this on?
Rob and she must have had a falling out.
No, ordinary one. Hey, where did Rob go?
Well, he's naturally distressed. I'd better go and see how he is. Such scenes aren't good for him.
Oh, no. No, isn't that so, Mrs. Phelps?
Did you speak to me?
Take the snow and throw it to Rob with my love.
Hester, take it
There's
easy.
There's something I want to ask you, Mrs. Phelps.
Tomorrow, my dear.
There isn't going to be any tomorrow. Rob has just broken our engagement.
No.
Hester, what do you mean?
I'm immensely distressed.
Oh, talked it over with you beforehand, Mrs. Phelps. He told me that much, so it's no use acting surprised.
Now, Hester, really.
Why did you make him do it?
I won't allow an hysterical girl to be rude.
Why did you talk Rob into jilting me? Will you answer me, please?
Such things are painful, but they're far less painful before than after.
He quoted that one.
Hester, please, now, let's calm down.
I want her to tell me why she did it.
This is a
You've got to explain.
Isn't it enough that he found in time you weren't the wife for him?
That isn't the truth.
Hester, darling.
Can you tell me what he meant when he said the happiness of three people was at stake?
He must have been thinking of your happiness as well as his own and mine.
Oh, what about your loneliness?
This is contemptible of
me. Really, Hester?
This can't do any good, Hester.
She's got to admit why she made Rob go.
Very well. I did advise my son to break with you because he told me you neither love him nor make any pretense of loving
that
him.
That isn't true.
And I told him to risk anything rather than such an appalling marriage.
I don't believe a word of
you
it.
You may believe it or not.
Mrs. Phelps, you'd better let me handle this.
Willingly.
I'm going this minute.
There's a train at 9 in the morning. It gets you to New York at 12. I shall have the car for you at 8:30.
May I have the car now, please?
There's no train tonight.
I won't stay here. I'll go to the hotel in town.
You'll do nothing of the sort.
You'll see if I don't.
You've got to think of appearances.
Appearances are your concern. I'm going to the hotel.
It's full. It's sure to be full.
I'll call them right now.
I won't bid you.
Will you take me, Christine, please, in your car? I'll call them right now. Hello? But I want the hotel, the Lakeview Hotel. Yes, the phone's dead.
I ripped the cord loose. You're the only person in the world who's ever made me do an undignified thing. I shall not forget it. Good night. I'm going to bed. David, Will you come up and talk with me for a moment, please?
No, Mother, I can't come right now. I'll be up later.
Very well. I'll come in to see you. Good night.
I'm terribly sorry about this. Really, I wish there was something I could do.
Take me to the hotel, David. Take me in the car.
Now, Hester, it would look strange to the hotel people. You can stay overnight.
Yes, what he said, he did want to marry me.
Of course, dear.
Oh, Christine, you've got to leave here, too. You've got to get your baby away from this dreadful house. Awful things happen here.
Hester, calm down.
See, she's been almost driving me crazy. She'll do the same to you that she's done to me. You'll see, you'll see, you'll see.
Act of The Silver Cord, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air, starring Ralph Bellamy, Ruth Hussey, and Estelle Winwood, and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. Here again is George Hicks.
In the early evening of July 16th, 1944, I hitched a ride on an LST and left England for my second visit to the Omaha beachhead in Normandy. As our blacked-out convoy crossed the channel, I looked around the ship and found that it was carrying an American Air Force unit to the beachhead to establish an airfield. The ship was loaded with steel landing mats and steel drums of aviation gasoline. We landed late that night, and the bombing attack had passed. I set off about my business. Before I went, I watched the truck start to pull off the LST, loaded with landing mats and steel drums. And I knew that within a few hours, there would be another friendly airfield where our planes could land and refuel. That's just one example of how our air supply system punished everything our armed forces did. That system was important. They helped our men to get supplies quickly and safely any place in the world. They were used to carry gasoline, oil, explosives, engine parts, water, and many other things in tremendous quantities. They were shipped, flown, and floated wherever our men or allies needed them. Today, drums are as important as ever. Again, they're helping the products of grease. The old drums bring all the grease and antifreeze to your service station. Tip the softenings to your bottling plant, chemicals to local industries, and the food products to your neighborhood store. That's an important part of our time supply system, too. One of the largest makers of these steel drums is a member of the United States Steel Family, the United States Steel Products Company. Factories in various parts of the country have made products in varying sizes. Products Company also makes pails, barrels, gun tools, and other products. Manufacturing sheets into products you use in your business, home, and government is the job of the United States Steel Products Company, another industrial family that serves the nation's best steel.
Now, hand in mind, and tell me is going to love me.
He does already. Of course he does.
You are happy, aren't you?
Couldn't be happy since I've come to see
you. Strange love. Thank heaven that when your hour struck, it didn't strike falsely. Good for Robin. Of course, you and Robin are quite different. You are my son. Robin is after my father. But,
Chris wouldn't be jealous of a thing like that. She's as level-headed as they come.
Jealous girls sometimes think things. Morbid.
Morbid? Chris? I guess you don't know Chris, Mother.
What happened downstairs, for instance? Always patient with her. Downstairs. Always patient with her.
Of course. Too bad about Rob and Hester.
No, she wasn't right. Not Rob.
Not. Of course, she never said it to any Rob.
I only wanted you to go to the station, feel the right way. Now, good night, my boy.
Good night.
Good night. From all others. Mm-hmm. But that's how marriage must feel, or it isn't marriage.
Of course. And that's how we do feel. Why are you off on that again?
Do you realize, Dave, that the blackest sinner on earth is anyone who tampers with that feeling?
If you say so, I'll say he is.
He?
Hmm?
Well, never mind. Your brother didn't feel that way about Hester, did he?
Nor she about him again.
I know better. I've had that child on my hands for the past hour. I've learned a lot, Dave.
Look, Chris, don't get mixed up in this. Don't take sides.
Can I help it?
It's not our business.
David, Hester goes tomorrow. When do we go?
Well, I'd like to get away soon, but you know how Mother feels. She's been looking forward so long to our coming, and now this thing with Hester, I'm afraid she's in kind of a nervous state. I think we ought to take it easy for a few days and not upset her.
She's bearing up.
You can't tell. She's so darn game.
Is she?
She's always been. I've seen her nurse Rob through one thing after another when she'd admit that she was twice as sick as he with her heart and all. She said we were her job and she wouldn't give in.
It all kind of fits together, doesn't it?
What does?
Weak heart and illnesses and you having to go 3,000 miles away from home to fall in love with me.
What do you mean?
Dave, we've got to get out of here tomorrow.
What?
We've got to take sides.
Now, look, I brought you here to meet Mother. I can't walk out now and leave her in the lurch.
Who comes first, your mother or me?
Why ask such a question?
Because I love you, and I've got to find out if you love me. And I'm afraid. Afraid.
Chris, this is all nonsense.
No, Dave, listen. I've got to get this off my chest. Ever since we've been married, I've come across queer rifts in your feeling for me, like arid places in your heart. One moment you're my perfect lover, and the next I'll find myself floundering in the sand, and you'll know where to be seen. And now I know what keeps you. Your mother keeps you. I'm afraid of your mother's hold on you, David.
Chris, what kind of talk is this?
I've seen what she can do.
And that's why this business of Hester's is a kind of test case that may decide about our marriage.
This is absurd.
Is it?
A man hasn't seen his mother for 3 years and he comes back.
Your mother, always your mother. She's got you back. Dave, her big boy who went away and got married, she's got you back.
I won't stand for any more of this. A man's mother is his mother.
And what's his wife? Or doesn't she count?
This is morbid rot. She warned me you'd be jealous.
Did she?
But I never expected anything like this.
Oh, Dave, what's going to become of
me? I won't stand anymore.
Hester has escaped, but I'm caught. I've got to face it. I'm going to have a baby by a man who belongs to another woman.
Chris, do you want Mother to hear you?
Do you think she hasn't? So.
You did hear.
How could I help it? Now we know where we stand.
Chris, can't you tell her you didn't mean it?
Of course she can't. Of course not. I meant every word I said. And now I guess I'd better go. I belong with Hester now.
Chris! Mother, I'll straighten out everything in the morning, Mother. I swear I will. Chris is naturally upset about Hester, but everything will be all right.
Dave, I'm on Christina's side.
What?
I accept my fate. You have your own life to live with the woman you have chosen. No bonds bind you to me.
No, Mother.
I'm not complaining. I'm only sorry for one thing, to see you throw away your chance here. Your great chance.
But I haven't thrown away...
Dave! Dave!
What's that?
Oh, it isn't a fire.
Oh, Dave!
Chris, what is it? What's the trouble?
Oh, Dave, come down, Chris. I went into her room and she'd gone. And then I came to look downstairs and the side door was open.
Oh, Lord.
What do you think happened?
I don't like to imagine.
She got away.
Hester! Oh, I shouldn't have left her alone for a minute.
You little fool, let her go.
No, we can't.
Hester!
We've got to go after her.
Of course, come on, Rob.
Dave, the pond.
Good Lord, she took the shortcut across the pond.
She's in the pond. Quick, Dave, for heaven's sake.
Come on, I'm with you. Hurry, Rob.
Boys, come back. Come back.
Hester,
help!
In the water. Hester! Hold on, Hester. We'll get to you, Hester. Hold on.
Boys, come back. You'll catch pneumonia. I forbid it.
What do you think, Doctor?
I think she was a lucky girl to have you here. You've done everything that was needed. She'll pull you through nicely.
It was wonderful, Doctor.
I'm sure of it.
How soon do you think Hester can be moved?
Go home, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, traveling might not be as bad for her as staying here. The sooner the better, I'd say.
I see what you mean.
Good luck, Hester. You'll be all right.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll see you to the door.
Thanks.
Doctor, do you think you ought to see Mrs. Phelps before you go?
Why?
She keeps talking about her heart.
Oh, I'd rather not, if you don't mind. Between you and me, there's nothing wrong with that heart.
I suspected as much.
It would take an atom bomb to hurt it. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Was that the doctor, Chris?
Yes, Rob.
What did he say? How's Hester?
She's all right. She's pulling through fine.
Oh, thank heaven. I've been worried stiff.
In fact, she's well enough to go home right away. Where's Dave?
Oh, he's putting danger signs around the pond.
Will you ask him to come upstairs when he comes in? I'm going up to help Hester get ready.
Oh, okay.
Robin!
Yes, Mother?
Was that the doctor?
Yes, Mother.
And he went without coming to look at me?
I guess he did. Hester will be all right, he said. She can go home today.
Well, the count had been very much wrong.
Mother, what are we going to do?
What do you mean?
How am I going to face people? I'm so ashamed.
There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's clearer than ever that you did the right thing. The way Hester has behaved, I'm sure there's insanity in the family. And you'll just make that perfectly clear to everybody.
Yes, I suppose that would make it easier.
And after that, perhaps you and I could go on a trip.
Say, that'd be swell if we could.
I know. We'll go to Florida. And you'll take a course at the University of Florida in interior decorating. Then when we come back, perhaps my old dream can come true. My two boys working together.
Oh, that certainly would be something.
Oh, that is, if only Dave.
Yes, that's the problem.
Whew, it's cold. I'll be frozen again by tomorrow. This keeps up. What did the doc say about Hester?
She's leaving today.
There never was anything the matter with her.
It's easy to see, Mother, that you don't often bathe in that pond in zero weather.
Well, I hope I have more sanity. Robin, will you see that the car's made ready for Hester whenever she wants it?
Sure, right away.
Dave.
Yes, Mother?
I need you, Dave. What am I to do with Robin? I'm afraid you've got to help me with him.
I'll do anything I can, but what's the trouble?
Well, if I were well and able to stand the things I used to stand before my heart went back on me, and before my blood pressure got so high, I shouldn't trouble you, but as I am, and with Robin on the verge of a complete breakdown...
Well, I haven't noticed anything about Rob.
Dave, he said things to me before you came in that no son of mine would dream of saying unless he had something the matter with him. I've got to get him away.
What are you going to do?
Well, Florida is the place, but he mustn't go alone. He can't face things alone. He's like his father. You are my son. That's why I turned to you.
Why not go with him?
Because I'm not really well enough in case anything should happen. Oh, Dave, do you think...
What?
That Christina could spare you for a little, just a few weeks. Just long enough to get Rob and me settled in some restful place. Do you think she would?
Well, Mother, you know, we have a lot of plans of our own. Chris has to get to New York for a job. Of course, this is important, too. Well, I could talk it over with her.
Now's your chance. What do you want to talk over, Dave?
Chris, what are you doing with suitcases?
I've been packing. I'm going away with Hester. Are you coming?
Now?
As soon as she comes down. I came down ahead to thrash out one thing for good and all.
Thrash out what, Christina?
Whether David is going on from this point as your son or my husband.
Chris, you're not going to begin all that again.
Yes, I am. Oh, I'd walk out without a word, even loving you as I do, if I thought this state of affairs made anyone in this family happy.
What state of affairs?
You might let us judge our own happiness.
If you had any, but you haven't. You're all trapped. Terribly, miserably trapped.
What we say in anger, we sometimes regret, Christina.
I'm not angry now, but I mean to strip this house and show it for what it is.
Dave,
I mean to show you up, Mrs. Phelps.
Chris.
And then Dave can use his judgment.
Chris, for heaven's sake, can't I be both a good son and a good husband?
Not if your mother knows it, you can't.
Excuse me, I'll not stay to be insulted.
You'll lose him if you don't stay. Oh, I know all about the legend of yourself as a great woman you've built up for 30 years for your sons to worship, but it hasn't taken me long to see that you're not fit to be anyone's mother.
Chrissy, here now.
Let her go on. She will explain that or retract.
Mrs. Phelps, why do you resent that I'm going to have a baby? David's baby.
I do not resent
it. Why did you bend every effort to separate Hester and Bob?
I did nothing of the sort.
Can you deny that your one idea is to keep your sons dependent on you?
I deny it all.
You may deny it till you're black in the face, but it's true. You belong to a type only too common, Mrs. Phelps. A type of self-centered, self-pitying, son-devouring mother.
Really,
Oh, there are normal mothers around. Mothers who want their children to be men and women and take care of themselves. Mothers who are people, too, who can look on their children as people and don't forever have to be holding on to them and tucking them up like everlasting babies. But you're not one of the normal ones, Mrs. Phelps.
Well, please,
Look what you've done to your son. You've destroyed Rob. You've swallowed him up until there's nothing left of him. Your crowning achievement was to make him unfit for military service. Nothing wrong, just the nervous type. And Dave, you'd have swallowed him up too if the war hadn't given him his chance to escape your clutches. And to think that some people actually admire your kind, you professional mothers.
I hope David sees the sordidness, the nastiness you offer him for his life. What can you give David?
A chance to be himself. A chance to share with me the raising of his child and the solace and enjoyment of my...
Oh, can you offer so much? I offer a mother's love, which you suffer.
Not within bounds. I hope my baby loves me. I know I'll love my baby.
But if Dave lets me down, I hope I never turn to my children as you did, Mrs. Phelps, for the romantic satisfaction I missed.
David,
why did she separate us last night, David? Because she couldn't bear the thought of our being together.
For heaven's
sake. And she couldn't bear that because to this day she refuses to believe that you're a grown man capable of desiring a woman.
Oh, no!
I'm never voting.
Oh.
It is. I can't wait any longer for your answer, Dave.
Chris, please, can't we calm down for a minute and...
Is that your answer? Remember me, won't you, on Mother's Day? Hester, are you ready?
Coming. I'm all ready.
It's time to go. Here, I'll take one of those bags.
Why, isn't Dave coming with us?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, Chris,
never
mind.
Tina, can't be helped.
The car's ready, Mother. Anytime Hester wants it.
We won't need it. We're going in mine straight to New York.
Hester, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything, Rob. I feel better and my plans are complete. You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to marry an orphan.
Goodbye, Dave.
Chris, you can't. It isn't fair to...
I'm sorry it's come to this. It could have been so wonderful. Come on, Hester.
Chris, don't go.
Goodbye.
Chris!
Mother, I'm sorry. I've made up my mind. I'm going to.
No, Dave, no.
The silver cord is broken, Mother. We were trapped, and I never knew it. But now it's broken.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Mother. Goodbye.
Oh, Dave, no. Come back. Oh, no, Dave. Dave. Oh, boy. Come back.
Without even his coat, he's getting into the car.
Close the door. Rob, you must always remember what David, in his blindness, forgot. That Mother Love suffereth long and is kind, envieth not and is not puffed up, is not easily provoked, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, at least. I think my love does.
Yes, Mother.
The curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild production of The Silver Cord, presented by United States Steel, starring Ralph Bellamy, Ruth Hussey, and Estelle Winwood. And here again is Lawrence Langner to tell you about next week's Theater Guild play to be presented by United States Steel Corporation. Mr. Langner.
First of all, I want to thank Ruth Hussey, Ralph Bellamy, Estelle Winwood, Beatrice Pearson, APK, and Elliot Reed for their performance tonight of The Silver Cord. Our play next week will be Yellow Jacks, also written by Sidney Howard, the author of tonight's play. In Yellow Jack, Mr. Howard applies the same stirring dramatic technique to a totally different and engrossing subject. Yellow Jack was originally produced by Guthrie McClintock and was an outstanding success on the Broadway stage. The cast will include Walter Abel, Luther Adler, Alan Baxter, and Anne Burr. If you've enjoyed The Silver Cord this evening, I think you'll also like Yellowjack on our next week's broadcast. And now here's Mr. Brokenshire again.
The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next week at the same time when we will present Yellowjack by Sidney Howard and Paul DeCree. If you'd like program notes and cast list of tonight's Theater Guild on the air, prepared for each broadcast with information about the play and the players, simply address U.S. Steel, care of your local station. The staff for the Theater Guild on the Air includes Homer Pickett, director, George Condall, producer, and Armina Marshall, executive director of the radio department. Music for tonight's play was composed and conducted by Harold Levy, and the play adapted for radio by Eric Barnall. Your announcer, Norman Brokenshire.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.